Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. This past Wednesday, we were studying the book of Numbers, chapter 16, during the wilderness wanderings of Israel. And it's funny, wouldn't you know, some of God's people from the Kohathites, led by a man named Korah, rose up and questioned Moses' authority. It turns out, of course, that they weren't questioning Moses. They were questioning God. They should have known better by now, Numbers chapter 16, after all, that God had appointed Moses. But no! Some of them were jealous of the priesthood. And all the miracles that they had done through Moses, God had done through Moses, they must have forgotten. And they wanted this power for themselves. This month is the Reformation month, celebrating 500 years after Martin Luther wrote the 95 Theses, and thus began the Reformation on October 31st, 1517. And all along those 500 years, people have questioned Luther's authority. They tell the Pope and the councils, you're wrong. You need reform. What or who gave this loudmouth monk the right to stand up to what's wrong or right about indulgences, about salvation by grace through faith and not works? To translate the Bible into the common language, Germans, the people could read it for themselves. And who gave Dr. Luther the right to write hymns that everyone could sing in church, the harmony and the melody? And who gave the right to priests to give out the sacrament in both kinds? We stopped doing that. And to make catechisms for heads of households to teach their families the faith to their children? And to tell priests and nuns, you can go ahead and marry. And to distinguish God-breathed doctrines from the distractions of men. Who gave Luther that authority? Roman Catholics and Lutherans and Protestants of all stripes may go on and argue about this for another 500 years. And it's a worthy argument if you ask me. But there's one authority that all should agree to and not question anymore. Not surprisingly, this man was questioned in his authority during his lifetime. So was Moses. But we give him the honor today of name above all names. In fact, this man also said before he rose up into heaven, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. We're talking about, of course, the authority of Jesus. It was questioned by the chief priests and the elders in our text today, that faithful week we call Holy Week. Jesus had entered the temple and just began teaching, uninvited, just started teaching the people right there in the temple. What gives this man that right? I can't walk into Maryville Junior High and just start teaching. I get kicked out. They'd come to me and say, you're not authorized to teach here, mister. So who gave Jesus the right to walk right in the temple and just began to teach? So they challenged Jesus' authority on the spot. By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? But it was a trap. If you've been reading along in the Gospels, you'll know that this is nothing new. This was a trap. And especially this week, right before the Passover, they wanted to get rid of Jesus. So this question was a trap. The chief priests and the elders had already made up their minds about Jesus. They wanted him to go ahead and speak the truth and tell him who he thinks he is. To just blurt out from heaven, from God. And so they'd have the right there to arrest him on the charge of blasphemy and insurrection, And then they could use the Jewish charges to have him put to death. That will happen later this week. Not this week, but that Holy Week. But not right now. Not in Matthew 21. Not this early in the week. Not today. Jesus knew their hearts and their minds and perceived their trap, so he turned the trap on them. I will also ask you a question. And if you tell me the answer, then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. It was his way of saying, you want it on public record? Me saying I'm from God, authorized by him? I'll give it to you on the condition you answer my question first. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from man? Of course, the chief priests and the elders went to go discuss this to themselves. Wait a minute now. It's a fair question. If we tell from heaven, then he'll say, well, then why didn't you believe him? And then why don't you believe me from being from heaven too? But if we say from man, which we really believe, then we fear the people because they hold that John was a prophet. So, of course, they came back to Jesus, the chief priests and the elders, after discussing, and they answered that great answer, we don't know. Jesus, too, took the opportunity to say, then neither will I answer you your question to me. Jesus said, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. He was sending them a clear message. I know you're trying to trap me. The funny thing is, these were supposedly God's people questioning Jesus, the chief priests and elders of Israel. So it's very mindful, if you will, of the book of Numbers, chapter 16, when the people of God are questioning Moses. Remember, they were found not simply to be questioning God or Moses, they were found to be questioning God. How much more were the chief priests and elders not simply challenging Jesus, a man, but challenging the Father, whom they claim to represent as authorized teachers and leaders of the people of Israel? How ironic! The Kohathites, led by Korah, had seen what God had done through Moses. The plagues, the Passover, the crossing of the Red Sea, the fiery mountain, and Moses' shining face as a daily reminder. Yet they still challenged him because they coveted the power. They liked to play that game kids like to play, King of the Hill. Likewise, the chief priests and the elders were quite familiar with Jesus and his teachings, the signs that he had done, the healings, the casting out of demons, and the most recent, the resurrection of Lazarus. I mean, come on. Imagine that, a resurrection. And still, they chose to challenge the authority of Jesus. Why? Because they too coveted the power. Even the power from derailing God's anointed. So they can have this time where they think that they are in power and chief of all things. It's the same way as saying, really, I want God off his throne. It's the same as saying, I don't want God to have authority over me, which is a popular thought in today's world. So I can exalt myself and my own powers to be like God for as long as I can pull off the stunt. God made a clear stand and demonstration of the Kohathites under Korah in the Old Testament, Numbers 16. If you know the story, think earthquake and fire and swallowing up people. Thank God, then, that these chief priests and elders were not challenging Moses today, but God's Son. For God did not send an earthquake and fire to swallow up the chief priests and the elders today, did he? Instead, they all lived another day because Jesus came to bring peace. Yes, peace with God by giving himself over to man's authority. Little did they know that by killing him who had authority over them, they were offering up the sacrifice for the sins of their own and for the sins of the whole world. The perfect, spotless Lamb that heals the nations, forgiving sins, and bringing peace with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. After Jesus rose, he told us clearly, "All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me." And the apostles even accused those who killed them as, "You killed the author of life." Authority. Who is it who has the authority to forgive your sins? Who is it who has the authority to heal all wounds for eternity? Who is it that is the author and finisher of your faith? Who had the authority to lay down his life and to raise it up again? Who has the authority to bring you back from the dead for eternal life? That's some authority he has. Let us rejoice in it during this Reformation month and always. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.